Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hot mic with Hutton and Withrow. Outkick.com/watch is where you can find us live each and every day. Then across the Outkick Network platform on the socials, certainly on YouTube for clips, highlights, and more. You can certainly subscribe there. We hope you will. Just search out Outkick and chat. Podcast available. A plethora of options. Wherever you can find your audio, like.
So many options. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Grindr. Is that one of them? No. Okay. Those are the ones that
I have to confirm with some of this in the studio.
I'll confirm with someone in the studio or here at 6
Chad
Peabody.
Can't confirm.
But those are the five that I know.
For research.
I'll research and find some other platforms soon. But I guarantee Colin's got us on that platform too. Not Grindr, whatever other podcast platforms exist. Yes, he's got us there.
Yes. Coming up, Mike Renner will join us. We'll talk NFL draft. It was NFL draft time in 2004. It was Thursday, April 22nd, 2004, when our next guest found out that the player and the person that made the biggest impact on his life had died. And that man and that hero was Pat Tillman, who left the NFL, left his NFL career to serve our country after being motivated by the September 11th attacks. He and his brother went to serve as Army Rangers. And no one that I know, Chad, and that you know or have come across knew Pat Tillman like this guy. Dave McGinnis joins us. Coach Mack, thank you for the time.
Oh, absolutely. Chad, it's good to be on with you guys.
Great having you on, Coach. Thanks for joining us to talk about what I even told you was one of my favorite all-time Americans with his story.
Mack,
It's hard not to have him as one of your favorites if you even know just a little bit about the story. And, of course, those of us that were close to him, his memory and his life will never leave us.
Mack, what moment do you think about the most in your interactions with Tillman?
Well, I mean, you know, I was with Tilly from the start because when he played there at Arizona State, his senior year, it was the year after they had gone to the Rose Bowl. We had drafted Jake Plummer, the quarterback, the year before, and he and Pat were very close. And then, you know, the next year, when Pat was coming out and it was his turn to be vetted in the National Football League draft, Pat was a Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year, but he played a walk-away linebacker, Hutt, which, I mean, he wasn't a safety. He wasn't a linebacker. He was just a damn good football player. And so as the draft, you know, of course, we were right there in Phoenix. And of course, they're right there. The Arizona State is right down the road in Tempe and kept our eye on him football-wise, you know, for quite a while. And so when they had the pro day over there at Sun Devil Stadium, well, then myself and Larry Marmee at the time, who had been a former head coach there at Arizona State and then was my secondary coach at the time when I was the defensive coordinator, and then Bob Ferguson, the general manager, we went to the pro day expressly to work Pat Tillman out after he had gone through all the things with the other 31 teams. And so because we wanted to see, you know, if to put him through some drills is just to see it, you know, if there might be a possibility that because, you know, he wasn't a linebacker size and he had never played safety, but we thought that we might have a chance, you know, to have him do something there because he was just such a hell of a player. So anyway, we go over there and we ask him if he'll come over to the practice fields that are named after a longtime assistant coach there named Hank Kajikawa. And so we went over there and took him to those fields and just said, Pat, we're going to put you through some drills here for the defensive back. Are you all right? Cool, coach. Pat was from San Jose. He was a California dude. And it was cool, coach. You know, he had a cutoff shirt, shorts, put his cleats on with no socks, took his shirt off and said, all right, let's go. So we started putting him through some drills that were linear drills, you know, further down the field, you know, flipping his hips and running and turning, chasing balls, you know, that something with depth that he had, you know, never had to do because he'd played close to the line of scrimmage. And of course, you know, his footwork wasn't exactly perfect and his hip turn, he would, didn't exactly have it right. And then he was diving for balls. And I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, he was scraped up and, you know, because he had no shirt on. And, you know, after about 15 minutes of that, I said, hey, Pat, that's good. He said, no, coach, that's not good. You know, I suck. And I said, well, wait a minute. This is not what this is about. He said, no, I suck. Let's do some more. Just let me continue to do. So we go about another 15 minutes. And right then I knew the essence of Pat Tillman. Well, when it comes draft time, you know, we get to the seventh round and we're getting closer to the end of it, pick 226. And, you know, I stand up with Larry Marmee and also, you know, Bob Ferguson and our head coach Vince Tobin at the time. I said, hey, you know, if it matters, you know, who we want on this day. We want Pat Tillman. And so we drafted him and, you know, felt like really that, you know, if he came in, he would give us a pretty good chance maybe to be a really good special teams player for us. And then, you know, probably could make our roster at the time just because of the way he approached the game. Well, about 3 days later, my secretary calls and says, Pat Tillman is here at the office. Could you have time to talk to him? And I said, well, absolutely. Send him in. Well, here he comes. You know, of course, he's got the hair, you know, he's got the surfer hair flowing clear down middle of his back. He's got that cut off shirt and he's got flip flops on and short. He rode his bike, you know, he rode his bike up there. And then he come down, sit down right in front of me and just looks at me and says, hey, I know why you drafted me, because, you know, I'm pretty well liked here, which was an understatement, you know, in Tempe. I mean, he and Jake Plummer were pretty much, I mean,
beloved. Yeah.
That's all it was. I mean, it was tremendous. And he said, I know that. And he said, you think I'll be a special teams player for you? Might get a few more people in the stands. He said, look me right in the eye. I said, if you just spend some damn time with me, coach, I'll be your starting safety. And I went, okay, I will. I did. And he was. And so, I mean, you know, that's where it all started from. And then, of course, you know, during the course of him playing, I mean, his role expanded. And pretty soon, I mean, he was putting up really big numbers. And, I mean, he had played himself. He was on the All-Madden team. You know, Madden loved him. I mean, he had played himself into exactly who he was. Pat Tillman was a very, very intellectual dude. He had an outstanding intellect. And he was a very driven person. But he was also, I mean, he was a man's man. But he was also he's a Renaissance guy, because this guy would read and he could talk to you. He and I would sit on those plastic trash cans that you use when you walk through before your practice starts. He'd come out early and we'd sit there and we would talk about anything but football. I mean, he was a very, very interesting. I mean, just a guy that you immediately, just because of the way he approached things, and, you know, his teammates gravitated towards him, and it was everything that you would, you know, that you could think of. And so his restricted free agent year, he had an offer. Mike Martz was the head coach of the Rams at the time, because Mike Martz had been at Arizona State, and they made him an offer. They brought him in and visited and made him an extensive offer. I think, you know, as a seventh round player at that time, I think we were paying him like a little over $500,000. They offered him a multi-year contract in millions with an S. I mean, a lot of money.
Yep.
More than $550,000. So I figured, you know what, guys, he's gone. And his agent, you know, Frank Bauer called me and told me what they had offered him. And I said, that's fine. I said, you know what, Tilly has earned this. He's earned it. And I hate to lose him, but you know, God bless him. That's the business. And that's also something that if there's anybody more deserving than Pat, I can't think of who it is. So 3 days later, I go down. I didn't hear from him. 3 days later, I go downstairs to work out in our weight room, and he's on the treadmill running. I'm kind of looking, going, okay. So I walk over to him. I said, Tilly, what's up, coach? I said, how was your visit? It was cool, coach. It was cool. He just kept running. So finally, I reached over and turned the machine off. I said, Pat, he said, coach, what are you doing? I said, look, I know what you were offered. I understand. I've been in this business a lot longer than you have. You've earned every bit of this. I'm happy for you, happy for your family. So just know that you have my blessings and it comes from me, even though you don't need it. You've earned all of this. He said, what are you talking about? I said, Pat, I know what they offered you. And you know, you're not going to, that's not going to be matched here right now. I'm just telling you that because I've always been honest with you. He said, coach, you guys are the only ones that believed in me when I was coming out. Nobody else even gave me a chance. For me to leave now just for money, that's bullshit. I'm staying here. I went, okay. Now, who does that? Nobody.
Yeah. No one.
No one. Especially with Bidwell paying you, Mac. Dave McGinnis.
Well, it doesn't matter.
You're right.
Any club.
You're right. Dave McGinnis any with us. Coach Mac, we're honoring, we do this each year on April 22nd. This is the 20th, hard to believe it's been that long, 20th anniversary of Pat Tillman tragically passing away in Afghanistan while serving our country. Mac, that time you're describing on the treadmill, that was right after the 2020 season, the 2000 season going into 2001. We were all impacted greatly by 9/11. Why did it impact Pat Tillman so much more, he and his brother?
Well, you know, I can't speak to that, you know, personally, because I didn't ask, but I know Pat's reaction to it. Of course, I was a head coach then. Then I was a head coach, and then said we were scheduled to go play in Washington, D.C., and then, of course, the Pentagon's hit. So, I mean, that was a very chaotic and, a very scary time for all of us in the nation.
Yeah,
it really was. And you can imagine, in the National Football League, especially with a team that was scheduled to go into Washington, D.C., I mean, there was a lot going on. I called the team together. We had a team meeting. Everybody came up. We had a team meeting. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen right now. We're waiting for some word from the league, but everybody stay together. I promise you that I will keep you posted. And then when I broke that meeting, I can remember Pat going into the PR office, which was off of our big meeting room. And on the television was still, the continuous coverage it was running on, of course, what was going on in New York City, with 9/11. And Pat just sat there, just kind of transfixed in front of that television for so long. And I can remember Paul Jensen, the PR director at the time, calling me and said, Mac, Tilly's still down here. And I said, that's fine. Tilly can do well. The next day, the Arizona Republic guys had run a full back page of the Arizona Republic was an American flag. And so, I go down to have the meetings in the morning with the guys because I had a little more information now from the league. And Tilly had cut that American flag out and had pasted it right on the glass wall. We had two big glass wall, big meeting rooms that were in the theater type setting for the team meeting room. He'd pasted it on the defensive window, and I said, I looked at that and I went, okay. Well, then we go on and, we have a season. Well, then Pat's an unrestricted free agent. He and Marie are going to get married. So he's not at the mini camps because he's not under contract. And I'm kind of waiting after mini camp, to hear from him, after his wedding, he had a honeymoon. And then I get a call and he said, Coach Mac, we need to talk. You got time for me now? And I said, well, sure. Come on up. So, I waited. He came up to my office and came in and closed the door. Pat Tillman, with Pat Tillman, there was never anything. I mean, he was always straightforward. I mean, and he dealt with things straight up face to face. When you're a head coach in the league, guys, you got a big desk and, people come in and talk to you and you're sitting in your chair or sitting on the other side of the desk. That's not what Tilly did. He went in there, he grabbed that chair and pulled it clear around right face to face with me. And he looked at me and said, Mac, here's what I'm going to do. Then he proceeded to tell me that he and his brother Kevin, who was with the Cleveland Indians organization, were going to enlist in the Army. And then that, when they enlisted in the Army, they were going to go into basic training. And then if they had a chance, they were going to try to qualify for Ranger School. And I'm sitting there listening to all this, and guys, I knew Pat well enough then. And I mean, I knew him extremely well because I'd been with him all of those years. Defensive meetings, on the sideline in games, and I knew him well enough then to insult him by saying, have you thought about this? Because Pat Tillman thought about everything. And so the one thing I did ask him, I said, Pat, I support you, whatever you're doing. In this decision, I support you also. I said, but I'm going to ask you a question. I said, have you thought about how you're going to handle this, because this is going to be a major, major media occurrence. Major occurrence. He looked me straight in the eye and said, Coach Mac, I'm never saying a word about it. I said, well, who's going to handle this for you? He said, you are. You're good at this stuff. And so that was basically it. And he never, you know, he never spoke again about it because Pat Tillman did not want any type of special treatment that he was enlisting, you know, to serve our country just as Pat Tillman. He wanted to do it as, you know, he did it just as a citizen. He said, I'm no different than the men and women that are already in there. He said, what have I done? And so anyway, the one thing I did do, because, you know, I've always, in my coaching career, I've had great respect for the press, both, you know, locally and nationally, wherever I've been. And I knew how big this story was going to be, guys. So I told our PR director, Paul Jensen, I said, call a guy named Kent Summers, who was the lead reporter for the Arizona Republic, called Darren Urban of the Tribune, the lead reporter who, you know, who had practiced every day. And then Mike Jarecki, who had the top sports radio talk show host, stock talk show there in Arizona, in the Phoenix market. I said, bring these guys up here because I'm going to tell them before this breaks nationally, because I owe that to them. And so, you know, I did, and they appreciated that. And then Kent Summers, you know, had enough a relationship with Pat that he got a hold of Pat and said, Pat, Coach Mack has told us, he said, would you like to make a statement? He said, no, I told him I'm not talking. And that's it. I mean, Kent Summers just wrote another article, you know, on this 20-year anniversary.
It was great too, Mac. You shared it with us.
So anyway, he goes and we don't hear from him. Larry Marmee gets one letter from him. And then he's in that first group that is deployed to Iraq, to Baghdad. And then he comes back from that tour duty. He's stationed at Fort Lewis in Seattle. And then I hear from him.
Coach, what was this day like for you in 2004 when you got the news that Pat Tillman had tragically died? And the response from everyone, and you knew how popular he was in that market, but when you started to see the response nationally but also locally and how many lives he touched, How meaningful was that to you to understand that you weren't the only one who thought so highly of Pat Tillman?
Yeah, Chad, and it's a very real question because, I mean, all of us, you know, as we go through life, I think have been touched by tragedy, either ourselves or somebody we're close to. And in those moments, time kind of takes a different turn. It seems like it slows down, but at the same time, it speeds up. I mean, you're kind of caught in a time warp. And then, as soon as I heard, I mean, I heard here. You know, I was here now working for Jeff Fisher as his linebacker coach and his assistant head coach. We were in the draft room preparing our draft board. You know, it was on a Thursday, and we were preparing. You know, we were preparing the draft board. And then Robbie Boren, you know, the PR director here, who's still here, he came up and all of a sudden he called Fish out of the draft meeting. And I'm going, this is strange. And so then all of a sudden Fish comes back in the room and looks at me and goes, Mac, we need to see you. And I go, okay, now what the hell? You know, and so as I walk out, I mean, Fish tells me, says, Robbie just wanted to bring the news and let you know that Pat Tillman has been killed in Afghanistan. And so you talk about time then. I mean, time starts speeding up. It starts slowing down. And then, you know, and I start getting all kind of requests because, you know, the family, you know, they ask me to handle all of the national, you know, the Fox News, you know, the NBC, CBS, ABC, all the morning shows, everything. All of a sudden, you know, I'm in that world, you know, explaining, not explaining, but just, you know, still in a little bit of a state of suspended disbelief, you know, about what's going on. And then it goes over into, you know, I was asked to go to San Jose and speak at the big memorial service out there. And then it got really surreal because now I'm kept in a house out there with Maria Shriver and, you know, Senator John McCain and all the, you know, the Navy SEALs and the Rangers and this, the whole thing, Chad, was I began to realize the magnitude of it, which I knew it was going to be, but it's kind of like being in the vortex of the tornado. I mean, you're right in the middle of it and everything is swirling around you and you're really having a hard time sometimes, you know, staying grounded.
And the last time that when you found this out, Mac, the last time you had talked with him was where you saw him or got tickets for him in Seattle, and he told you he was going back, I believe, because he felt like he was letting people down?
No, you know, I'd get a call from Tilly, when they're back, and of course, hadn't heard from him. Of course, it's typical Pat. I mean, he just calls, the secretary says, Pat Tillman's on the phone. And I said, let me have it.
Yeah.
Coach, what's up? I'm back. I'm up here in Seattle. Y'all are coming up here to play. He said, I'd like to buy some tickets. And I said, what? I said, you want to what? He said, Coach, I want to buy some tickets. I want to come to the game. I want to see the. I said, Pat, what the hell? I said, wait a minute. So I go down to Mr. Bidwell's office, and I tell him who I've got on the phone. He said, hey, tell him whatever he wants, whatever he needs. So I come back and tell him, look, we'll get it fixed up. How many you bringing, who you bringing with you? We'll get you hotel rooms. Coach, I don't want. I said, Pat, just please let me do this. And so, we do that. And then when we show up there, I mean, he's already checked in the hotel room with his wife and his friends. He brought all, some friends from San Jose that he had grown up with. And so anyway, I said, Pat, look, would you like to speak with the team? And he said, no, it's not about me, Mac. They're trying to play a game. I know it's not about me. I just want to see him. I'd like to spend some time with him after the game if you don't care. I said, Pat, please. So anyway, I finally talked him into coming down to the team breakfast in that morning. And he said, so he called Marie. When he was with me that night, I got, of course, this is in a suite, and I had food ordered up there and brought Coach Marmee up there with me and Pat and all his friends. And we were up there, for quite a while, pretty late. And as he was leaving, I'll never forget. I mean, we had a big, just in my mind, it's a big tray of cookies. He said, Coach, can I take some of these down for? I said, Pat, take whatever you want. He said, hey, what time you get up in the morning? I said, well, early. There's a Starbucks, across the street. I mean, shocker. There's a Starbucks in Seattle. And he said, I'd like to talk some more with you and Coach Marmee. And I said, sure. So we go over there that morning and we're just sitting there. And I just straight up said, Pat, what do you want to do? He said, Coach, look, I made a commitment and I'm going to serve out my entire tour duty, because he could have gotten out after that first tour. He said, my entire tour of duty. And I said, well, what do you want to do then? He said, I want to come back and play. He said, because he'd made Rangers, he'd done that. He said, I want to come back and play. And I said, well, Pat, I don't know where I'm going to be, because you know how this business is. I said, but wherever I am, you've got a place. He said, I know that. That's what I wanted to hear. And so, we talked a little bit more. Then I said, would you just come to the team breakfast, please? He said, Coach, I said, Pat, all right, let me talk to Marie. So he did. And then all of a sudden he calls me and he says, Mac, I'll come down to breakfast. You know how a team breakfast is. You guys ever been before a game? Everybody's kind of comes in, filters in at different times, but there's a set time, because then you're going to have meetings and then you're going to get on the bus and you're going to go to the stadium. When Pat Tillman walked into that room, guys, I mean, it was like, because some of the younger players that were on there, had never been on a team with Pat. So they only knew the legend of Pat Tillman.
Right.
The guys that had come with him, I mean, the whole room just went, you talk about a room just going, I mean, it was dead silence. And people were just staring at him. And then all of a sudden the older guys, they rush him. And then so he hangs around for a little while. And then, we go to the game. And then after the game, Paul Jensen closes the locker room to the media after the game so that Pat can come in. And I invited Kevin in too, but he said, Coach, this is for Pat. And so we close the locker room and Pat, until he comes in and goes around and, shakes hands and hugs the necks of all the guys and talking to them. And then, comes up to me and said, Coach, I can't thank you enough. I said, Pat, please. And he says, I want to hold you to what you said. I said, it's there. And, he said, I love you, Coach. I said, I love you, Tilly. And that's the last time I saw him alive.
American hero, Pat Tillman, Coach Mac, remembering the 20th anniversary of his passing. He was 27 years old. His legacy lives on. And you mentioned you would help him when he came back, Mac. His legacy is helping other military members, service members, veterans, spouses, when they come back with academic scholarships. It's the Pat Tillman Foundation, pattillmanfoundation.org. Just had the Pat's Run most recently. And over the years, 20 years now, $34 million have been invested to date. They've helped over 850 Tillman scholars and they've reached over 166 universities, and it continues to grow throughout all military branches. The legacy lives on, Mac, and I know this is something that is near and dear to you with Pat's Run.
It absolutely is, and the whole thing is. And of course, I was on the initial board of that foundation. You know, that Alex Garwood, his brother-in-law, you know, they married sisters, asked me to be on, and I was glad to do that. I mean, I think he had Colin Powell on there, Senator McCain, and I mean, and so it germinated. It started with a bunch of guys just meeting, and you know, they talked about maybe we can have a run. We can get 1,000 people here. It can run. We can call it Pat's Run. Well, it'll be 4.2 miles because Pat's jersey number at Arizona State was 42. We'll run around Tempe Town Lake. We'll end on the 42-yard line in Sun Devil. Maybe we can raise a little money. The first race had, you know, close to maybe 4,000 people. This last weekend, 30,000 people at the race in Tempe. And then there's satellite races that go around all over the country simultaneously, and then plus overseas at military installations. It's really been an amazing. The impact of Pat Tillman, it just continues to grow. I just did a speaking engagement in Bowling Green for Pinnacle Bank and for the Chamber of Commerce over there with about 250 people. And it's inevitable because I speak around the country a lot, and Pat's story comes up, you know, inevitably. And one or two people will come up after the talk that says, you know, Coach Mack, thank you. I served in Afghanistan with Pat, or I was in during the time, or you know, the reach of what he meant and what he still means is incredible. And Pat would want none of it. Yeah, Pat would want none of it. He never wanted any acknowledgement that he was anything special other than doing, you know, just being full of honesty and integrity and dignity and serving his country.
He's an American and a hero for all of us. Mac always tells his story, Chad, as you all know, at the Mac Hutt dinners. We always either begin or finish with a Pat Tillman story that I've never even heard before each time. It's unbelievable. And Mac, thank you for giving us plenty of your time here to honor Pat Tillman. We do this each year. And you're right. He lived it. Honesty, integrity, dignity. Those are words we can throw about, but he lived this.
He did it.
And you do such a fantastic job keeping that memory alive and your memories of him and his certain legacy alive. Thank you, Mac. We appreciate you, man.
Well, thank both of you. And as I said, I've been fortunate enough in my career, guys, to be on the field with 8 Gold Jacket Hall of Fame members, coached with 2 Hall of Fame coaches. Nobody that in hundreds of players that I've coached in, you know, the 39 years that I've been in this league have impacted nor touched my life the way Pat Tillman did.
So well said. Thank you, Coach Mack.
Thank you, Mac.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
There's Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis, with a great way to honor the legacy of Pat Tillman.